Welcome back to Your Zest Life. I'm your host, Genevieve, and this week's episode is actually a two-parter with Natalie, who, alongside with her husband, Shane, hosts the Boise Bubble Podcast, a podcast about all things Treasure Valley. She also runs the local Instagram page, Hello Meridian, which currently engages with over 36,000 followers and was recently awarded Small Business of the Year for 2020 from the City of Meridian. For the prequel to this conversation, make sure you check out her podcast, The Boise Bubble. I've been able to connect and work with Natalie over the last year and a half, and one of the things I admire the most about her is her authenticity and compassion towards not only making a difference in her community, but in bringing others together to lift one another up. We talk more about this, as well as a wide variety of topics that left me feeling inspired, optimistic, and more self-aware of who I am and the mark I want to leave on this world. I think you'll find yourself wanting to replay parts of this episode over again just to fully absorb the content and wisdom she shares. We talk about the value of kindness in today's modern world, how to be open to different ideas and perspectives, the importance of boundaries and priorities, the realness behind burnout, and how to identify relationships that no longer serve, as well as how to respectfully and considerately move forward from them. Natalie also shares what it's like to work in social media right now, what it's like to be a highly recognized influencer, and the one thing she wishes our community would practice more often. We also get into a lightning round of Zest or Zat, where Natalie opens up about her travel experiences, including living in the Middle East, sleeping on the streets of Italy, and the one culture she would love to experience the most. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Your Zest Life as much as I did, and be sure to visit the Boise Bubbles podcast for the prequel to this week's conversation. Your Zest Life is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com, Boise, or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. All right. Welcome back, Life Zesters. I'm your host, Genevieve. Thank you so much for joining. I have another very special guest. This guest, I'm really honored to have her on today. Natalie reached out to me last week after a discussion on her page, Hello Meridian, and it was something that just really resonated with me and I felt very passionately about. And if you listen to her podcast, which is The Boise Bubble, you're going to hear an intro to this conversation. So, you know, you can watch or you can listen to one of them before the other. But if you have the time, I would recommend going over to the Boise Bubble podcast first. Listen to our podcast together and then come listen to this one. I think that'll help to make a little bit more sense and it'll be really resourceful for you. So without further ado, I'm so excited. I've got Natalie here. She is the host with her husband, Shane, on the Boise Bubble podcast. She is also the creator and the face behind Hello Meridian, which was awarded Small Business of the Year for 2020 from the City of Meridian. So she's very, very influential and also has a very positive impact on our community. So Natalie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
This is going to be fun. I'm still kind of dissecting everything that we talked about on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And from that, you know, lots of talking about how we can work together as a community, how we can work together to avoid burnout. And before we continue that conversation, mm-hmm. for people who maybe aren't as aware of what you do, can you give us a little intro as to what Hello Meridian is and what started it?
Sure. So Hello Meridian is a local-based page that basically talks about all the Treasure Valley. Right now, it engages with almost 37,000 followers, mostly local. And basically, the point behind it is to promote small businesses, tell you what's going on in the community, kind of have a positive vibe, and also to have a place for conversations. I don't open it up to all the conversations. There's a lot going on, but sometimes there's things that need to be discussed as a community. And so I'll ask questions and then people will talk in the post and we'll have conversations there. So that's really cool. And it started, I actually was one of the first mommy bloggers. When bloggers first became a thing, I started blogging and, became a Huggies blogger. So Huggies, hired me to, I would be on their page sometimes as I had little babies. And, so I blogged for about 10 years, basically talking about motherhood and how it's amazing and how it's awful and about how overwhelming it was. And I just started, in social media. And then I started a social media management company for local businesses. And I would run their social media and I would write their copy and create their content. And then from that, I saw this need for a local page. And I started that. And for a long time, I wasn't even on the page. And then somehow I became an influencer. That's a thing now. So that's what I do.
Well, and how did you see? So that's so interesting. I did not know that you did the Huggies blogging. And mm-hmm. you've got three kids, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Youngest is 8. Mm-hmm. Oldest is 15. Mm-hmm.
And then my middle is a son and he's 12.
Really cool. What a great group.
Yeah.
So tell me then, from switching from going to blogging to then running a social media account to then having your face on it, what was that experience like for you? And what kind of changes did you see?
So being a blogger was interesting. I really liked I like writing. That's what I like. I mean, that's what I'm passionate about. And honestly, I started blogging because I had some traumatic stuff happen with having a baby, and that I started, I dealt with my first baby was very stressful and I had such horrible sleep deprivation that I was starting to not be able to form words. Mm-hmm. I was actually having a really hard time taking what was in my brain and manifesting that. And so I started writing because I couldn't converse like I wanted to. And actually having a podcast has been really scary for me because it's never really come back as much as it had at one point. At one point I would have said my skill was in speaking, but that never really came back. So I was able to feel like I was able to express myself with writing. And then I found, oh my gosh, there's a community here. And that was really cool. But I felt also very exposed. And that was a national page. So then I decided, I don't really want my face out there anymore. But I still liked the content creation. And I was like, I could do this for a local page and I can promote local businesses and all the things. And that's how it was for, the first while, about 2 years of Hello Meridian. And then just some things happened that I kind of mentioned in our first podcast that I really felt like having my face out there would be very empowering for me in a time of struggle. And also I realized that when you put your face out there, engagement changes and people trust you and they see that you are personally vetting something, that it really does help promote businesses differently. And so I kind of moved that direction, even though it was very frightening and I sometimes still question it. was that a good move? But here we are.
Which is so interesting to me that you say that, because our conversation before this was very organic, mm-hmm. I felt, and you're very well spoken, and the way that you speak, which, and we talk about this, I have a weird thing with saying the word influencer, but when I say influential, mm-hmm. like you really are a very influential person in the community. How has stepping into this role empowered you in your relationship with yourself? How has it empowered you in the relationship with those in your life, your family, your friends?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some positives. Mm-hmm. I've met amazing people. I've been able to surround myself and really, I've told my husband, I feel like I've been able to curate this friend group. Mm-hmm. One thing that I work hard on is I try to use imposter syndrome to my benefit because I realize that every single person is kind of intimidated by every person around them. Every person really believes that they're still a awkward 15-year-old.
Yeah,
and when
totally.
I started seeing everyone like that, I'm like, I can talk to anyone. And it really became to the point where there was no one who was intimidating me or out of my league to talk with and involve. And then as I got to know these people who, you know, from the outside, you're like, oh man, they're so out of my league. You realize, no, they're just cool people.
Yeah.
And that's been really great for me because I feel like I'm just constantly around people who just are inspiring and teach me things. It's definitely been difficult on personal relationships because you change and there are things, priorities come about that maybe other people don't agree with. I know that my closest friend doesn't listen to my podcast because she finds it kind of awkward and she sees me in a very professional setting, but she sees me and I'm like in person, if you get to know me and you're really in my close group, you'll know I'm like super inappropriate. Yeah. I love to talk about sexual things. Like I'm, nothing is off limits conversation wise. And I'm not going to be like that on my podcast. Yeah. And so they see this difference between what the public sees and who you are. And so for them, they see like, well, that's not really authentic.
Yeah.
But for me, I just think, well, not everyone deserves or has earned all of me, and not that they even care.
Yeah.
Like they probably don't need to see those aspects. But I've had a struggle with my closest friends of them seeing that duality and I have to listen to that and say, okay, well, how can I help that? And how can I be better? And how can I be more authentic to all the parties? So,
which is such an interesting thing because, you know, I still find you to be a very authentic person. You know, I haven't known you as long or as well as your very close friends, but even in the time I have spent with you or the conversations, you're a very genuine person and how you come across really is who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference here when we look at a lot of other influencers who their brand is them. Mm-hmm. And so it is important that they show up as they are, but also recognizing that that's their career. And this is something that's very new. It's it's modern day career. You know, we didn't have influencers back when our parents were growing up, but you're representing multiple brands. You know, you're representing a city. And so that's where it is important, right? That you're showing up professionally. With that, you know, as being a person of influence, what's something that people maybe don't understand about what your role is?
Like as an influencer?
As an influencer, yeah.
Well, one thing is having to use a voice that the voice you hear is curated to, it is my voice, but it's very intentional that I want to represent the companies I'm talking about in a way that they feel comfortable with. And also I have to acknowledge that somehow have become a voice for a community. Not everyone's going to say I'm that voice and a lot of people won't, you know, agree with me and that's fine, but I need to speak from a place where I'm trying to hear all the sides. And I don't agree with all the sides. And so sometimes I have to show parts of the community or whatever that I don't agree with at all. But that doesn't mean that I have to say it right there. Like, no, I don't agree with this part or I don't agree with this protest or whatever. I try to come at it as what does the community as a whole feel and can I represent that? And that's difficult sometimes. But if you're with me personally, I'll tell you my opinions on things. But that... And I do share opinions, but I have to be very careful about that.
I think what I really respect about you is that, and you do, one of your conversations in particular, which I think is on your highlight, talking about the hospitals right now, which we won't go into that. But that's what I really respect about the space that you've created is that all sides are represented and every voice is heard, which in a community is how it should be. And let me also add on, all voices are heard respectfully.
Sure. If you're not respectful, I will.
Yeah.
Better at that now than I used to be. But like if you're attacking me personally, I'm just like, you know what? Don't be a douche. And I'll just block you. Yeah. I mean, because, you can say things about me that you don't like something I say. But if you're attacking me personally, then just don't follow the page. Like, it's not that hard.
You can choose, right? Yeah. Just like you get to choose who you surround yourself with, especially on social media. You get to choose who you follow and what content you're taking in. As much as we say, you know, that everything is very, the algorithm dictates what we see. Mm-hmm. You can choose to unfollow or block or what's it called? Mute somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which another thing. So when we were last talking on your podcast, and we talked about this showing up authentically and I think what I wanted to dive a little deeper into is talking about like how you surround yourself with people who really lift you up. The conversation. So again, if you listen to On the Boise Bubble, we talked a lot about the people who you surround yourself with, finding this balance between, you know, your work life and your priorities. And a couple of things we didn't really dive into that I think, you know, let's first backtrack. I do this. Can you tell? I get so excited and I think about all these things. I'm like one track focus. You recently had a post come out that I had commented on, and that's what something I really love that you do is that you do expose what's going on in your life in a way that connects others, which is what we need more than ever is connection. And just talking about this idea of burnout and how we can, you know, you can say yes to everything, but you're not going to find that fulfillment you're looking for by saying yes to those good opportunities. So you phrased it as you can't say yes to everything. You know, you can have great opportunities. Tell us a little bit about what was going on that led you to this enlightening idea of I hold the power to choose my priorities rather than other people choosing them for me.
Sure. It actually started a little like a little earlier. When I had my first like big realization is I was getting overwhelmed with how many nonprofits were asking me for help because how do you say no to a nonprofit?
Right.
And I actually had this idea to do this totally separate page called Hello Meridian Community. I got an intern from BSU just to organize this. Basically, how can I be a liaison so that my followers can hear what's happening with nonprofits? And I met with people and they told me their needs and like, I became so overwhelmed, I became extraordinarily depressed because I was realizing I was going to have to stop almost everything to do this. And I had a meeting and my husband helped me facilitate it because he's actually a professional meeting facilitator, which is one of the reasons that I have him as my podcast host. And I just started crying and because I was like, I can't do all this, but I have to do this. And I'm like, no, I don't. And he's like, well, I'm like, I don't have to do this. He's like, I'm like, I can figure out a way where I can make them do the work and get access on the page, but I don't have to do any of it. And he's like, well, how? I'm like, I don't know, but I can't do this. It was funny. He told me, he's like, that he saw me in such a different light that it was like just a light bulb had gone off. That even though this, what could be better than helping nonprofits in your local community, that it couldn't be at the expense of my mental sanity. And it empowered me to do it, to make a lot of other choices. I changed a lot of things about what I do with Hello Meridian. And I just started telling people, you know, I'm booking out in like 4 months. And I kept pushing things. And but then the big thing was and we talked about this on my podcast, was that I had this idea to do live podcasting on 8th Street, which if you know Boise, 8th Street is the coolest, most happening spot in downtown Boise. It's the most incredible space. I still have the lease technically on it. And I wanted to totally gut it and make it a podcast studio to invite people in to talk on the streets, off the streets, and you could actually look in the windows, and it was going to be amazing. And basically what happened was I had to start, well, and my son got COVID, everything in my life shut down, and I was just sitting at home and I thought, I can't do this all. I can't do it all. It is the most incredible opportunity. I cannot do it all. I have to choose or I'm going to lose my, can I swear on this? I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah.
So I just had this realization that if I wanted to be there for my family, and I wanted to be there for my husband, and I also wanted to be there for my community, I could not do this thing. And I had to publicly, because I had publicly told all these people I was going to do it.
Yeah.
I had already had so many businesses involved in it. I had to come out and say, I can't do this thing right now. I want to so much, but the burnout was so real. And it is crazy, the experience of just failure that came over me and just like just overwhelmed that I couldn't do it. And then how quickly that transformed to just my internal sense saying, yes, you're listening now. Like, this is not, this is great. And maybe you should do it, but not now. You can't do everything now. Mm-hmm. You have to have a, you have to be able to experience the moment for the most important things in your life. And you know, and I published that very, very apprehensively. And all of a sudden, just the messages and the direct messages of just people who are experiencing the same burnout, that it resonated so much with them. And I messaged my husband and I said, I never thought that that backing out of the studio would be better for my branding than doing the studio. Yeah. And he said, I could have told you that. And I'm like, oh.
Like, where were you earlier?
Because he's like, people relate to that. And because for me, it just felt like failure. But then I'm like, that's a failure. Mm-hmm. What an extreme personal success to know myself mm-hmm. enough and my boundaries to be able to say no to something miraculous and wonderful and to see the priority that it needs to take in my life, which is a low one. So
isn't that so interesting how those people who are still in our inner circle but are like outside the situation can sometimes see things that at that moment we can't see. Like I've had my husband, the more you talk about Shane, I'm like Luke and Shane, I think would really connect in that. He also has been able to say like, this is something that, you know, you had to learn for yourself though, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's how we learn more about ourselves and who we are. And like you said, what our boundaries are, what our values are, what we hold on to be true. And in that instance, you know, you said something that I think is really important in that setting those boundaries. How do we set boundaries and why are boundaries so important in our during our quest for life?
Well, I think I've said this quote and it's kind of like it comes off from a book I read called Essentialism. But basically, if you don't dictate your life and your schedule, mm-hmm. someone else will. Because everyone feels like their thing is the most important thing. Yes. So if you're friends with the PTA president, she is working towards some goals, but her goals will be her number one priority. If you're very involved in a high intensity religion, the people who run that are going to feel like their goals are the most important. So if you let other people's first priorities take over, then you will be pulled in 1,000 directions and all of them probably good. And so taking extreme ownership, I think that might actually be from the book, Extreme Ownership. But if you take extreme ownership of your personal space and your time, you're going to have so much power mm-hmm. that maybe other people were in control of. Yes. Because for me, like money's great, but my currency is time.
Yes.
And yes. when you look at time as your number one currency, it changes the way you spend it.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever listen to Chris D'Elia?
I have.
Comedian? He's hilarious. I feel like you would love him. He put on one of his shows talking about how we all think that we're the main star.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, you're not even like the co-star or like a backup stage person. Like you're probably, I think he says it as, you're the person in the someone else's movie where the bird's pooping on that person. Like no one cares though.
Yeah, no one cares.
And I mean that in the most endearing way.
Yeah.
But so often we do think like we're the main star.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I love that you say when you focus on what you need and, you know, time is currency, energy too, right?
Oh,
time,
sure.
Energy, your biggest forms of currency. So where are you now? You know, it sounds like you're really in this kind of shift where you're taking ownership mm-hmm. of what you want to do. Where are you putting your energy towards right now?
Well, I love that you said that you're not the star of really anyone's show, even as an influencer and being very, very mm-hmm. visible. No one really cares about me. Mm. Like my friends do. They yeah. like me. But my followers, they don't care about me. They care about being entertained and yeah. educated and inspired. But it's about them.
Yeah.
It's always about them. And I think that's one reason I'm able to put myself out there because I'm like, in reality, nobody really cares about me 5 seconds after they're scrolled past. So that also means that I shouldn't kill myself to do something for people who really aren't that interested. Like I want to be a good influence, but in mm-hmm. the end, in 5 years, no one will have any idea what this page is about if it closes down. No one will remember it. So, but who will remember? Like, well, my family will remember. Will that, I will mean something to them and my close friends. So how I'm moving things, I'm actually changing a lot of things, is that I told my husband, I don't, influencing can be pretty lucrative. And I said, I don't really want to make money right now. Like, I mean, I still make money and it's not like I'm just going to do everything for free. But I said, right now I want to focus on just some aspects that are my priorities and not stress about my schedule and making sure it's full. I mean, there was a point where every single day was packed on Hello Meridian with like 3 months down the road every single day. Well, that's a lot of work. I mean, that's 70-hour weeks. And then I started a podcast. And I was like, that's cool. Like, maybe I just don't save as much money, but I'm like enjoying my Saturdays. What if I had more time to do community stuff that felt very valuable? And I felt that fulfillment from that. And so just wanting to give, I want to give back to my community in a way that's very valuable, that doesn't also suck my life force, I guess, is kind of where I'm at right now.
I think that's something we can all learn from is that, you know, going back to if you remove yourself, you're not the star, and you can really look at the whole community, the whole globe, the whole big picture. And we're gone, right? I think it's a Macklemore song. I'm a big Macklemore fan, but he says something like your legacy is the last time someone mentions your name, right? And that's your influence right there. And that's where I think that's what bothers me sometimes when people get the word influencer and they associate with like, oh, I'm selling these like weight loss teas. Mm-hmm. And like, but being a person of influence is such a compliment. And especially when you're a person of influence who is compassionate about helping those that they are influencing. Mm-hmm. And that's where the value is, I think, right? There's all the money in the world to earn, right? And you can work your butt off. You can, you know, work from the crack of dawn until you go to bed and have no boundaries and have, you know, a very, what I would consider a poor quality of life. But if you're not making an impact on your community, what do you have to your name at that point?
Sure.
And so with that, what, you know, when you think then, and I don't want to, like, if you haven't given thought to this yet, because I also want to give you your space to enjoy this time. You know, we were texting last week and you said one of your dreams was that when your kids were in school, you were going to be able to take naps and like actually rest.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your kids now have been in school for several years. And Friday, it sounds like, was the first time you're taking time to yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as an influencer, it looks like I do a lot of self-care. Which is true, but a lot of, you know, I work with businesses, and so I need to show some of the things that I do. But myself, like, I get my nails done every month. That's not really a form of self care. I don't love getting my nails done. One is, I play guitar, and so like I destroy my nails, and I have to keep them looking okay because I take so many photos with my hands.
Yeah.
So like that's not really self care for me. That's a work
like
thing.
Maintenance.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. So I had to be aware of what my actual self-care is, and that's spending time with friends who like to have good conversation, like going outdoors, talking with my husband, going to romantic things, having sex. Like those are the things that it's basically having quality time by myself where I'm not producing, or having quality time with people where I'm not distracted. That's self-care for me, and napping, sleeping,
it's
going to bed. I mean, I wake up at 5 so that I can get my work done before my kids wake up. Like, I don't want to do that. I want to sleep. I can nourish my body. So,
and I think if you were to ask somebody, you know, what would you like your life to look like right now? Like, I'm a health coach, and that's a lot of what we talk about is like your habits, your routines. What would you like what do you envision your Monday through Friday looking like in addition to enjoying your weekends? So you've identified, you know, what it looks like for self-care. How are you putting that to action for someone who's like, Natalie, I resonate with this. I want this. How are you making this happen, though?
Well, I mean, I guess to really think about what it is. First of all, I have some pretty significant health problems that I don't talk about publicly, but it causes me a lot of chronic pain, actually. Mm-hmm. And so one thing is to really listen to my body and to acknowledge when it has needs that are outside of I guess, what is expected of me in other ways. Mm-hmm. And luckily I have a you know, husband who's really great about that. And I think speaking it with my partner is very helpful, and saying, so I can be held accountable.
Yes. Yes.
Saying, this is what I want to do. Sometimes I have a hard time being really present with my kids, because it's like, you know, an 8-year-old talks a lot, and a 15-year-old has a lot of drama. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh gosh, like, she's not being very nice to me or whatever. Sometimes being present. Well, let me backtrack one thing. This is something I noticed. So first of all, can I ask your Enneagram?
Yeah, I'm a 3.
Okay. I knew you were.
Yes. Did you? Okay. What are you?
A 3.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have a wing?
Yeah. I'm a 2 wing. Are you 2 wing?
Yes.
And okay. Then a 1?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I actually could have told you that. There's something, there's something about, this is dumb. I really love the Enneagram. There's something about a 3 wing 2 mm-hmm. women. Mm-hmm. And I believe Jen is that too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So there's something about that particular Enneagram that women become very successful, but they experience extreme burnout, because mm-hmm. basically that particular personality type is so driven for a visual success. Mm. You know, we're considered the achievers, we're the mm-hmm. charmers. And so there's something particular I've found, and I've just discovered these people who I keep on resonating with, and then I find out they're this exact same Enneagram.
Cool.
It's so crazy. But what I needed to look, everything about that certain personality type seems very positive. Mm-hmm. But the thing is there so much on the negative side of how hard we push ourselves. And I had to redefine success, mm-hmm. honestly, for myself. And I had to look at it as, my success doesn't have to be visible. My success can be something that's just my own, or just something that, you know, my individual family sees. And that was kind of difficult for me. Sorry, I'm remind me what the question was.
You know what? I don't even remember, because I love what you're talking about right now. And I think it's something that we do, right? And it's, if people don't know their Enneagram, I think Enneagram is one of my favorite personality tests, because it shows, you know, what your qualities are, but also what it looks like when you're in an unhealthy relationship,
sure.
with yourself,
uh-huh.
right? And this is what you're talking about, mm-hmm. is when we're so focused and goal-oriented that we can't be present in our success. That's mm-hmm. something that a 3 really struggles
yeah.
with, as do other of the Enneagrams. But, and I, for this idea of visible success, mm-hmm. that's a huge thing to take ownership of. My success doesn't need to look visible to somebody else mm-hmm. for me to feel successful.
Sure.
So what do you define success as? Like, what does success look like individually for you?
Okay. Well, I would say that I feel, one, that I feel rested. Like mm-hmm. that I can, I just feel like I work so hard, and
yeah.
That I kind of go into this blurry state, and I don't. So to feel rested, I want to look good naked.
Yeah,
it's crazy, but I've been married 20 years, and a healthy for me. I love sex, and I love romance, and I'm like, I don't need to work on my body for like anyone else, except
mm-hmm.
that I like being comfortable naked, and
yes.
so when I made that goal for myself, like it just kind of transformed how I did it, and it made things and I've had some success there, and that works for me, and that's been really good. And I want to have I want my kids to feel like whoever they are, as long as it's kind, is safe with me. That
cool.
they can tell me anything, they can become what they want to be, that they're not striving to become something that I want them to become, and that I want my husband to fill the space to be the person he wants to be, even if it makes me uncomfortable. That I guess, so a success would be that other people are safe with me, and that I'm safe with myself, and that I create a place of comfort for the people in my sphere, especially myself.
Yeah.
Seems a little vague, but.
No, but here's the thing, and this is why I keep going back, because I really want people to understand, like, you are as authentic as you come across, and that we talked about in a different way, that I think it was talking about, like, how you know who you want to surround yourself with, or how you know if someone's toxic, and one of those is, does that person leave the other person feeling better than when they were with mm-hmm. them. And that says so much about you that it's not that, it's that you really do care about the people who are in your life, people who are in your close circle, that they can show up as who they are. And for a mom to say that about her kids and for a woman or a partner to say that about their other partner, that's huge. I think we're so often to try to mold people, mm-hmm. you know, and with kids, I think you see it happening with their parents, with spouses, they're trying to change them. You know, you can learn your love language, mm-hmm. which I'm so interested. I want to ask you what yours sure. is, but I think that's a huge thing and knowing like, how can I best support you? Mm-hmm. And that's where, if you take that outside of relationships, that's how we can best support our communities, is allowing each other, going back to what you said, as long as we're being kind and respectful, to just show up as we are and just allow them. There's so much change happening in our world right now, and I think it's very confusing for a lot of people because we're so focused on seeing from our own perspective and what we know, and it makes us uncomfortable to think that there could be something that exists outside of the truth that we believe to hold sure. power.
Yeah, that's terrifying to people.
It is.
But extremely empowering.
Yes.
And just to let that go. And I haven't really talked about this publicly, but I made a pretty huge life choice to separate myself from organized religion mm-hmm. After an entire life of being involved in a very high demand religion, of which I respect yeah. incredibly, and respect the people who are there, not really separating myself completely from it because there's so much lovely, wonderful things about that experience and that community. But what I found for me is that there was more negatives in my personal life than positives. But that's a pretty devastating thing for like a community and for people, you know,
yeah.
the people around you. But what I've been so grateful for, in, because it's been devastating for me to like have this like choice, that make that huge choice yeah. and kind of like feel the loss, but then at the same time feel this like gratitude for myself for understanding it, was that I feel like people. I feel like what's happened in the last 2 years has caused kind of a derision in personalities. You're going to either be so strong in what in almost a zealot state where you can't hear anything, mm. or it's made people softer and more flexible. And what I've noticed is that the people around me who I've told, I've kind of going through these kind of changes, how beautifully accepting that they've been, even though it disagrees with what they mm-hmm. say. They say they might be still very involved in their religion, or the religion that I've just separated myself from a little bit, but that I felt like they have listened to my, and it's not that I'm pushing like you should believe this too. I've just yeah. been very open, like it just wasn't a positive thing for me.
Yeah.
And that they heard that and respected that and respected that change. And that's one thing I've noticed that I've appreciated so much, is I feel like people are choosing one or the other, but that so many people are choosing to be softer and kinder with people and understanding, mm-hmm. I might not know all the things. I might yeah. not, I don't understand your situation, but your journey is yours. And whatever that is, it doesn't matter, because I love you and you are an important person to me, as long as you are kind and respectful in return.
Yeah.
And the more that the world burns around us, if we can learn that lesson instead of the lesson of I will plant my flag, and if you cross yeah. this line, you are no longer my people.
Yeah.
That's the worst situation. Or you can go the opposite. And so I've been very, very grateful for my community, because it's, you know, I'm going through so much change, and yet I've felt very welcome in it.
So. I wish this, and I do see it as well. I think that there's opportunity for us to invite these conversations where we can have different viewpoints and different beliefs, different ideas, and educate each other. I was listening to, I don't know if it was on a podcast or what it was, but someone saying, and I don't know if I loved this approach, but it humbled me, in that there are some beliefs I have that I feel very strongly about, but I'm also humble enough and also realize that my way is not the only way of seeing things, that I can listen to other viewpoints. And this was something like, if someone's telling you something and they're, you know, like you said, they're going to put their flag there, mm-hmm. they're going to die by it, you know, ask them for where they're getting their resource, you know, mm-hmm. ask them where that, and that's not really my approach, because it yeah. feels very defensive and it feels really harsh. But it reminds me with myself when I'm talking about things, like, you're not the expert in this. Mm-hmm. There are multiple sides and multiple ways to view things. And I've really learned that this year, just in the conversations we've had with Women S Community. We've worked really closely with Inclusive Idaho, and that's challenged me to have some really difficult conversations. What's something that you would give as advice, and maybe you've already given it, to our community as we go through this growth and as we go through this change that will help us to get out on the other side? Because I think we're going to get out on this other side stronger, but we need more people who are empowering us to work together rather than divide. What advice would you give to someone just to allow them to maybe soften a little bit more and listen?
Well, I talk about listening a lot.
Yeah.
I would say figure out how much you're listening in a conversation and double it, just in every conversation that you're in. Just, and also, and this is like conversation 101, stop listening to respond. Like, don't have your response ready. Listen and then hold whatever they said in your mind and think about that thing. Think about where they're coming from. Think about always opening the thought of where's my knowledge limited in this? What can I fill it with that's new? And I guess not be afraid of learning you're wrong, which is scary. And I just feel like as we have these conversations and we realize that every person's coming from a new place, there's no black and white. If we look at the world in black and white, we'll always be angry. Mm. We will always feel like we're being wronged. We'll always feel like there's someone wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that a black and white mentality, it does nothing but divide us.
Absolutely.
So I guess just try to be calmer and also stop working so effing hard, because if you are working so hard all the time, you're at a level of stress.
Yes.
And if we are always in a level of stress, we cannot be our best selves. We can't come in a place of calm when we're just in constant survival mode. Not that we can help it. I mean, if you got young babies and you're not sleeping through the night, yeah, you're in a really crappy point of life. Mm-hmm. But to try to give yourself real rest, because people who are restful and mindful are also people who are able to listen.
Yeah, and that's such a great point. And the podcast will come out after this. I talk about, you know, finding that work-life balance, but not even a work-life balance, but rather taking more time for rest so that, you know, the cortisol levels in your body aren't going up and you're not in this like fight or flight where you always feel like someone's out to get you or attack you. And I love I always ask for my guests to send in a quote. I'm a big quotes person. Yeah. And I loved what you said. And I think that this really speaks to what you just vocalized. And this quote, I'm going to butcher the name, but it says, I've learned silence from the talkative, toleration from the intolerant, and kindness from the unkind. Yet, strange, I am ungrateful to those teachers. And I think my eyesight's so terrible. Khalil Gibran?
Oh, yes. Gibran? And that's from his book, The Prophet. Yes, that we can, I love that quote because it's taught me that I can learn what not I don't want to be.
Yeah.
And that every interaction can be beneficial in if we've come back from and say, those are some of the things I don't want someone to make me feel the way that person made me feel. Why did they make me feel that way?
Yeah.
And how can I reverse that?
Yeah.
So
I think it's a really positive way to look at, you know, people come into your life for a reason. And you don't have to be friends. This is what my mom always told me, is that you don't have to be friends with everyone. You know, not everyone needs to be your best friend, but you do need to respect everybody and recognizing that everybody has their own story and we're all going through. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important thing to remember. And even this weekend, as I was walking through, it was just off weekend, right? We all have those. And remembering that on those days when I'm just looking for someone to be compassionate towards me and just to be patient, like I'll tell my husband, I don't know if you do this with Shane, but I'll be like, you know, I'm feeling a little off right now. I really need your patience with me today.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to give you a heads up. Like, but I think remembering when you go out in that world, when you're going to the grocery store, you know, when you go, like, hold things as small as holding the door open for someone, asking the cashier. I've been really intentional when someone is providing any service, whether it's over the phone, in person, asking them, how is your day? And really, like you said, listening.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can do a lot more of listening not to respond and listening to genuinely learn and not be shut off to what the answer is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also in that, realize not everybody is somebody who should be in your life.
Yes.
And to remove those, and especially on social media, and if something's toxic, just shut it down. Stop engaging.
Yeah.
You don't have to engage with everyone. You can give people a chance, but if they do something that is a toxic influence, to just be able to remove those things from life and kindly.
Yeah.
Kindly. You don't have to return the attacks. Just when someone's, you can see from the perspective that, yeah, they probably are having a really bad day. That doesn't mean it has to make my day bad.
Right. And that's in relationships. We talked about how we are ever changing, right? Who you were when you met Shane 20 years ago, you're very different. Who I was when I met my husband 5 years ago, my best friends even, we're different. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something people don't speak to enough. And I feel like this could be a longer conversation, mm-hmm. but about how it's okay for relationships to have an expiration date.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
they and that,
it, yeah, right. And especially with your time too. You say time is currency, energy is currency. We can only give so much. And if you're giving to a relationship that is not giving back to you in the way that fills you, you know, what advice would you then give to someone into either one, how to identify that those relationships are not serving you anymore? And two, how do you kindly close the door to that relationship?
Yeah, that's a great question. Cause this idea that you always have to keep certain people in your life, it's good to try to have some investment, but then mm-hmm. you have to see, okay, this is not benefiting me anymore. And that's why I haven't experienced divorce. I love being married, and it's hard. Like yeah. It's so much work. Like the amount we have invested into this relationship is crazy. But in the same token, I've watched some people get divorced recently, and I was always raised with like, you just stay in it.
Yeah.
You stay married. And yeah. Now I'm like, that's horrible
advice. You're unhappy.
Like don't just bail the yeah. first time something yeah. happens, but you know, start to be very aware of your needs. And sometimes it doesn't mean when a relationship ends, it doesn't invalidate the time you spent with someone. Mm. I mean, your love for someone and your relationship with someone exists forever in that time, in that place. Mm. And we should always respect that time.
Yeah.
I have friends that I'm just not close with anymore. And it has nothing to do with, we grew apart. Mm-hmm. We grew into different things. And that doesn't nullify what we had.
Yeah.
It's as if we let those things go, then suddenly those things didn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. But they do. They always matter. Even if we end it in bad terms, those moments aren't less real. So I guess for me, I've, as we talked about in the other podcast, is I think, how do these people make me feel? Do they feel like, are they draining to me, or are they moving me towards success? Are they letting me live in a space of authenticity, or are they holding me to a definition that they have? Mm. And it's okay if they are, if we can move past that and we can work together. But to always, I guess I would say, if you're ending a relationship, because I have had to end friendships and those things, is to do it in such a place of respect and kindness for what you experienced, and that this doesn't, just because moving forward, it's not something we should actively do to, you know, be together or be in the same partnership or work relationship or job. You know, you might hate your job and you want to quit and you're like, oh, I'm freaked out about it. And we did a whole podcast about Shane quitting his job. To be respectful of the time you spent together and acknowledge that and leave them knowing that was so valuable and that you appreciate that. And then it also, I'm a big fan of not closing doors, not burning bridges. Let those bridges remain, even if you're not crossing yeah. them. In every relationship, like yeah. business relationship, all the things, leave in a way where they feel like they feel some sense of, I guess, that you left acknowledging their benefit to you.
Yeah. Gosh, I think that's such great advice, because I do think people, again, it's that black or white. Either has to be a relationship that is alive and on fire, or it's a relationship that's dead mm-hmm. and didn't serve us. And it's a disgrace to their time and energy, and also to yours. Like, you spent time invested in that. And there was a time where you did feel good in that relationship. And I'm sure you could come up with relationships like this too, where, you know, you have maybe ended a relationship or maybe taken a break, grown apart, but then there was space in between where your relationship was rekindled. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we see these relationships as we get older, which brings me back to, what is your love language?
Oh, my quality time.
Quality time. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what, Shane's?
Acts of service.
Cool. Those work really well together then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like his is the worst though, because it's like, oh, that's hard. Yeah. Why can't you just be words of affirmation? Yeah. Which that is actually, I actually think he's more words of affirmation. He is like, I'm actually uncomfortable with words of affirmation.
Really? Like that, compliments?
Yeah. And, compliments are hard for me. Like, and cause I don't know why. I don't, but when someone gives me their time and like the really focus on spending time with me, I just feel like they've given me such a gift, because I think for me, my currency is time. Yeah. So when someone gives it to me, I'm like, wow, what's your love language?
It's time and acts of service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm with you too, where I think as humans though, we struggle with compliments. Mm-hmm. We want to be complimented.
Sure.
And we want to be told nice things, but we don't know how to receive them. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to figure that out. But, you know, and in a sense though, in this book I was reading, it's talking about how we all kind of dabble in a little bit of the love languages mm-hmm. and whoever we are, but it's something that I even do with our team. And asking what their love language is, so that I know if I'm giving them feedback. So when I work at Cycle Bar and we do our one-on-ones and I'm, you know, doing their review, you can know how to best direct that critique to them. You can best tell them what they're doing well and actually make sure they're receiving it, which I almost think it'd be interesting now if you were like to go to a conference, you know, when you have like the name tags, it says your name and it says like what your Enneagram and what your love language is.
Oh, I
want to
do that.
How cool would that be?
I've actually thought many times I want to do.
Love that.
Like it, because Gina Gomez lives here, who's like an Enneagram specialist.
Yes.
She moved from New York to Meridian. And I'm like,
which is wild.
I need you to. She did some Enneagram marriage counseling for Shane and I, because Shane is a one and I'm a three, which is considered like a power couple. But, you know, we struggle a lot. But we're also
so
not
similar.
Yeah. But we're also not competitive people. So that helps. But I really would love to meet with other people, like, especially
so cool.
Yeah. I have noticed with the love thing. Sorry, we could probably talk forever. But I have noticed with the love languages that. Though you do notice when you're really lacking in one. So I wouldn't say that words of affirmation are a thing for me, except that I have this one very close friend and he is really bad at words of affirmation. And like, I'm so close with him that I notice, I'm like, I could go for that.
Yeah. I could hear that.
And so, and it's like gifts, are not my love language, but after like, if I haven't had a gift of any kind from my husband, I'll be like, I'm starting to feel, I think we feel all of them.
Yes.
And so when somebody can kind of take part in all that, then I'm like, oh, this is fun.
It's good. Yeah. It's like an imbalance in your food. Like you could eat your favorite food every day, mm-hmm. but you're still going to need something else. So I always like to end with a lightning round of zest or zat. So I'm going to ask you some questions here and we'll start off really easy. So do you prefer, are you a summer or a fall kind of person?
Fall, 100%.
Fall. Okay. Do you prefer podcasts or reading?
Probably reading.
Reading. Okay. So Audible or do you need to touch the book?
I actually studied literature in college and I read so much with the book and now it's like I'm incapable. I have to listen.
Yeah.
Like my attention span won't let me.
I like fall asleep if I'm trying. We tried to read last time, I pass out.
Yeah.
Date night in or date night out?
Out.
Out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I won't ask you your favorite place because I know you go to a ton of places.
I mean,
favorite
I can tell you.
Kind of food. Okay. So favorite place then?
I love Spice Italian or Italian. Yum. Spice Indian.
Okay.
So it's in Meridian. It's super small. But if I'm going for strictly just the best food, I love Indian food and I love Spice and the people are awesome. So that's actually my favorite place to just go eat dinner.
So where is this? Are you allowed to say?
Oh yeah. So it's on Franklin and Eagle and they have a buffet. I think the buffet's open. I don't know. I had to close down with COVID, but sometimes we'll just get takeout. I eat keto for health reasons. So if I'm going to splurge, it's going to be there or it's going to be pho-tay, which is like for pho. Those are my two restaurants that I will go.
I love Indian food, so selfishly, I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
Okay, are you an adrenaline junkie? Do you like adrenaline?
No. 100%.
No, because you don't like to walk over the grate either.
I don't. So I get injured a lot. Like when I do things like I shatter my wrist on a scooter in downtown Boise. Like I'm just the person who gets hurt. Okay. So like I'm not.
Low risk activities. Would you go zip lining or have you been zip lining?
I would probably freak out a little bit. So yeah, not so much. I have high adrenaline with like intellectual things those kind of experiences. I will go head, but physically I'm not super confident in my body just because I've had,
That makes
injuries
sense.
And stuff. Yeah.
But you do love to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So where's been your favorite place that you like to travel?
Well, I lived in Israel for a while, and that was, I love the Middle East, and my minor was technically Near Eastern Studies. And so I love traveling in the Middle East. It's not really possible right now. I love Italy.
Yeah.
I love it.
What part of Italy?
I'd probably say Florence. Yeah. I met a friend there one night. I was abandoned in Rome. I had nowhere to stay.
My
best friend and I at the time were sleeping on the streets, and we met two nice soldiers that like protected us.
Wow.
And I talked to him last night. We've been friends for 20 years. I love the people that you meet in traveling.
You're so cool. Oh my gosh. We got engaged in Italy and it's like one of my favorite places. I just love it. So where would you like to travel that you've not been to yet?
Probably, I've never really been to any Asian countries. And so I'd love to do that. I think the culture is just so fascinating. And I feel like we can really learn a lot from Asian culture, Asian medicine. So I feel like they have an element that we're really missing in the United States that I'd like to kind of be part of.
Yeah, I totally agree. The Southeast culture of Asia is unlike when you talk about kindness and just looking out for others. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anyone actually live in action for what they speak the way that they do. Yeah. Just so cool. What are you the most proud of in your life?
Probably my marriage. I think that marriage is really hard, and to have a partner who I feel is so supportive, and like every day I feel inspired by him. I know I inspire him. We are just very, very in love with each other. And like, we are two people who are extremely strong alphas who need each other desperately. And I feel like we do it in a very healthy way, even if it's very, very hard. And so I think of all the things, like that is the thing that I'm just so grateful that somehow we were successful in. You know, so far. You got to keep working on it. But
yeah, I love that. Well, I've so enjoyed this time with you. If there is one last thought that you could leave our community with, what would it be?
I would say to be as nice on social media as you are in person. Idaho is awesome and we're so nice, but everyone's going through hard stuff and we take it out on each other on social media. And that is the community where we all are now connected. And just to stop being so hard on each other there, and to actually get out of your comfort zone and maybe just be overly nice to people, say nice things, compliment people in a genuine way. And I think we could make some real changes there.
I love that. Gosh, well, Natalie, you're such a joy. I'm so grateful for this time we've been able to spend together. Thank you again. And can you remind people where they can find you?
Sure. So I run a social media page called Hello Meridian. It's on Instagram and it's all about the Treasure Valley. And I also co-host a podcast called The Boise Bubble, and you can find it on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify.
Awesome. Thank you so
much. Thank you so much.
All right, Life Sisters, thank you for listening. Again, go back if you haven't already, listen to our previous version of this conversation where you're going to learn some, we didn't even talk about even half of what we talked about on that podcast. So go back, Boise Bubble. I will see you guys next week. Be kind. Have a good one. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghaworth and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.